Hello, everybody. Welcome to the head-to-head feature for Infinite Undiscovery for the Xbox 360. My name is Ethan Ethos Pfeiffer. This is the feature in which we throw two reviewers into Skype and make them talk about a single game, whether they agree or not, and also in which we also have MIDI musical segues, whether you like it or not. So let's meet the heads. Head number one, we have Adrian Dunouden.
Oh my god. Thank you. Thank you!
I know how to pronounce your name. I've listened to all the RPG casts. Or Omegabyte, as you may know him, the point of view curator at RP Gamer. Say hi.
Hey, everyone.
And also, our head number two, we have Jonathan Self, or Neist, the new updates editor. Say hello.
Hello.
Good, you're very obedient. I like that. Alright, so I know nothing about this game, as it seems to be the case with most of these head-to-heads. So why don't we start with Jonathan.
Consider yourself lucky.
Okay, that's what I hear in this case. So, yeah, Jonathan, start off, give me a very brief opinion about your opinion about the game, finish with your review score, and Adrian, you can't interrupt him at this point. Go, Jonathan.
Okay, very brief. It was a game that probably started out as being pretty good. It had a lot of good things going for it. It just seems like that maybe a B team had taken a seat to it, and maybe they put that on a back burner a little too long. Maybe it needed to be made, you know, a little baked on a little bit. I gave it a 3.5, mostly because it had a lot of potential. It was probably slightly above average. I wouldn't say it was great, but it could have been way better.
All right, and so that makes us turn our heads to Adrian. What do you think?
I thought the game was awful. The game literally has no redeeming qualities to it at all. Every single aspect of the game is subpar, and as a result, the game is incredibly boring and just not any fun to play whatsoever.
Good times. What'd
and
you
I ended
it?
Up giving it. I gave it a 2.0 out of 5.
That is a low score, almost as low as the horrendous Harvest Moon DS Cute review that I hear some genius wrote. All right, so let's move on. Let's get to the argumentative portion of this feature. Let's talk. You know, Adrian, why don't you start, since you had such a very potent opinion of the game. Tell me what you thought of the story, and at this point you can feel free to interrupt each other.
Well, I'm sure Nice is going to agree with me on this, actually. The story was probably the only part of the game that didn't suck. The story was actually fairly decent. It wasn't great, and it was actually fairly slow to start off, but it does really pick up towards the end, and most of the characters, and I say most of the characters because Rucha and Rico are the most annoying little brats you will ever encounter in a game, but most of the characters were actually really enjoyable. Capel in particular was a very compelling protagonist, and Aya and Edward both had their moments towards the end of the game, as well as Sigmund towards the earlier parts of the game. So the story wasn't that bad.
It was a little bit cliche in parts, but it was still pretty decent. I mean, all things considered.
So would you agree with Adrian that it's like the one redeeming quality about the game?
Well, another definitely redeeming quality is the music. I mean, I definitely think the music had a little higher station in the game than the story did. Especially its integration in some of the scenes of the music. Places, the towns especially, there's a town that has snow in it, and the music in that is just really, really enchanting. It really fits well. It blends with the background. And so, I mean, while it's not incredibly bombast as something like a Dragon Quest would have, I definitely think that at least the music is another pretty high redeeming feature.
Actually, I can agree with you there. The music was quite good. It's unfortunately not enough to redeem the rest of the game, though, because obviously the game design is what really matters the most. The music is definitely a high point, mm-hmm. but why not just buy the soundtrack?
Yeah, well, that's the weird thing about that, is I'm not sure if I'd actually enjoy the soundtrack all that terribly much. I mean, I think I would have to have the game to enjoy it. I'm not sure if I'd like it by itself, but it was kind of like an entire experience sort of thing. But besides that, I think we can both get... Without changing subject too much, since we're on the game, I think we can both agree. One thing we'll definitely agree on is the visuals are kind of bad in a lot of things.
Let me point that in a direction then. I've heard a rumor that some of the worst part of it visually is the fact that it has terrible slowdown during the battles. Can you guys attest to that, or is that incorrect?
I never get too much slowdown, really.
The slowdown wasn't that bad. There is a fair bit, and it does get annoying, but it's not enough to really detract from the overall game that much.
I mean,
the real issue with the visuals was both the lip sync and the animation.
It was very stiff, the animation. It was very awkward and stiff.
It was retarded. Did you see the way some of these characters were moving? I mean, I think the dinner scene is the most obnoxious thing I've ever seen in a game ever.
I mean,
I don't know if little brats dancing around with their legs flying all over the place like some sort of distressed animal. I don't.
Dinner,
yes, exactly.
Dinner.
God, I mean, please never do that again.
Did it bother you while it was actually moving around, or was it just the cinematics? The cinematics is really get me bad. I mean, it just it's like somebody was walking around and like they had really sweaty armpits or something, so their arms are really far away from them.
It was mostly the cinematics, but this game is very cinematic heavy as well.
Yeah, it is.
Most of the game is – there are cinematics that were as long as 30 minutes.
Okay, so would you say it was just the animation that made these cinematics terrible, or how was the voice acting in this game?
Mixed.
Yeah.
Mixed is the best way to describe it, I think. Certain characters were pretty decent. Capel in particular, it was actually really well done. I loved Capel's voice actor. He did a great job. But virtually everyone else was awful, especially, once again, Rico and Rucha, who are, as I've mentioned, the most annoying brats you will ever meet in a game. I hate them. I literally – it's not right to hate children, but I hate these children. I want them to die.
And on that note, let's move on. Alright, so two other things I've heard about this game are, or detractors from the game, are the ridiculous nature of the side quests and the number of characters you have at your party, although it's a very short game. Apparently you can have like 150 billion characters in your party. What do you guys think about that?
It's kind of misleading. I mean, you can have four in your party, but you can have multiple parties, which that sounds all great in theory. I mean, I actually enjoyed this part of it,
Multiple parties, though. You can only have multiple parties in a few areas in the game.
Yeah.
By the time you get to the end of the game, you only have your main
four-player
party. It's kind of pointless, really.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't even see those characters doing anything. You just see them in the background. There is no real reason for it.
And the sad part is, I mean, I really enjoyed the system. It's just implementation was very bad. I mean, if they would have – I mean, like one of the scenes that I really like is there is a scene, one part of the game where you can actually see them and interact with them. It's in a village without telling too much of the story. And you can actually – each group is assigned to do different things. And that was kind of cool. They could have ran with that. It would have been a lot better. So,
games have done multiple parties before. I mean, there's lots of games that have done multiple parties before, but the difference is they let you take control of those additional parties.
Yeah.
They get to play as them. You get to experience what they experience, and as a result, it's a more cohesive game. But in this case, you just send them out on their own, and they do their thing. You get some rewards at the end, usually nothing, and it's done. There's absolutely no point for it. And the fact that they actually have characters that can only be in those special separate parties is just infuriating. You got all these really cool characters, and you can't use them. That was really annoying.
Yeah, especially there's one point in the game where you're kind of restricted in characters, and you really want to use those other characters. I mean, bad. And
while we're on the topic of characters, what was the deal with the damn bear? Why did the bear have to take up two party slots? That never made any sense to me. I mean, he might be stronger, but you know what? It's unnecessary that he takes up two slots. Why not just weaken him so that you can have a full party?
I don't know. I actually used him a lot, though, because the thing was is he had so much health. If you could get the guy, get him tanking whatever you were fighting, I mean, I could just sit there with potions and throw them on the bear constantly, and the bear did enough damage where he could actually single-handedly kill somebody, a boss even.
Well, see, I took a completely different strategy with it. I ended up using mostly normal characters. I think I used Aya and another healing character. I can't remember which one it was. But with a couple of healing characters in your party, I never even came close to dying. They just heal for so much. It was ridiculous.
Back to the side quests, guys. Were they as redundant as I heard? I heard there were a bunch of side quests, but they were all go like let's go find my cat, you know, or something silly like that. Nothing ever is truly satisfying.
Well, I mean, yeah, they weren't. Sometimes they had things that weren't satisfying, but that's because this is something that, I mean, I guess I would call it refreshing, though it's not really all that refreshing. The game is a lot like an MMO. When you play an MMO, there's a lot of really mediocre quests for stupid things and a big world. And even the combat is translated over that. Like, even though you can't control your other party members, it really reminded me of raiding in like, World of Warcraft. It really, really reminded me of that. Because it's all in real time. It's all action-based, you know. So they are kind of menial, but it's kind of like, I guess, part of its whole shtick. Not that that shtick was a good thing, but yeah. They weren't necessarily interesting at any rate.
I didn't really bother with most of the side quests. Like, I came across any, but the game was just so uninteresting that I just felt a desire to just get it done as fast as possible, so I just ignored them.
Okay, now this may be a little bit redundant, but I want to clear any confusion out of my head and maybe the listener's head. Adrian, you said you were really talking about this game being uninteresting and you didn't really care about it, yet you say like the most redeeming quality is the story. So what is, say, the aspect that really made you not care about this game so much?
Well, it was the gameplay. The gameplay was dull. It just wasn't fun. It was like Star Ocean Till the End of Time, but without any of the inherent strategy that was involved in that battle system. It's basically you hit the X button, your character goes and kills something, and you move on to the next enemy. There was nothing to it.
Yeah, but that can be fun. I mean, I had fun with it. The problem was that everything else about the game was completely bloated. They throw everything else in the game that you don't need. So it seems like you try to need these things, and it doesn't. I mean, you could have gotten away with having an incredibly simple combat system. I mean, and, you know, I would have had fun just whacking at things. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, heck, people still buy Dynasty Warriors games, and they have loads of fun with them. So, you know, I don't demand anything incredibly complicated.
Okay, so Jonathan, with the term,
I don't always demand something complicated either. But the thing is, this system was so inherently uncomplicated. I mean, you have three basic things you can do. You got your normal attack, you got your power attack, which I don't know why they didn't just turn that into a special attack, because it basically is a special attack. It's ridiculous that they didn't, because it changes based on how many combos you've had before. I don't even know. But everything that they included as part of it, too, like all the things that you get in the tutorials, they had no real purpose. Apparently, the special attacks like that,
the combo attacks?
They can knock enemies up into the air and knock them down or whatever. I never encountered any of that. I never noticed it. It didn't.
Well, that's my.
Feel
that
like
was part
mattered.
Of them. That's the part I'm referring to as being bloated. I mean, or the combo attacks or those link attacks you could do. You could link so people, if they don't know, you could since you couldn't control characters, you could interact with them. You could kind of quasi give them commands to do things, but some of their commands actually connected with you. Like the bear, you could actually ride on the bear and hit somebody and explodes or something like that. But they were nearly never needed. They were used in a couple like situational puzzles and things, but you know. I mean, while you didn't
That's
need
the other
it,
thing. There weren't nearly enough of those either. I mean, link system could have been a great puzzle solving tool, but they didn't use it. And I think the reason they didn't use it is because you end up dividing your party into multiple groups all the time, and you can't switch them while you're outside of a town. I mean, they can't really set up a puzzle when they don't know who's going to be in your party. And that just limits what they could have done.
And I mean, in the fundamentals of where they could have grew the system, I really enjoy, but something I absolutely despised of it was the fact that you would get this situational puzzle with no clue of that you were supposed to have that character in a spot where you couldn't easily return to that spot with some chest behind it, which probably had some secret item, you know? So unless you play the game repeatedly over and over again and you memorized where that spot was at and what character you had to have in that spot, it's impossible to get those. I mean, and maybe that didn't bother you as much, but I mean, that doesn't seem quite right. I mean,
well, that's a side quest thing. I've seen that in other games before. That didn't really bother me because I'm not one of those people who has to get every single item in the game. But the fact that they only made those things as optional things instead of making them required to actually solve and get through dungeons is one of the things that really irritated me. I mean,
they did it the first part of the game.
Well, in the first part of the game, they had like a couple of things like that. I mean, the first boss battle was intriguing that you had to use that special ability in order to kill the boss.
Yeah.
But after that, you never even really used it. I think I used it I used Aya's bow to shoot a couple of things on a wall once, and I think that's all I did for the rest of the game using that link system.
Yeah, it helped unlock doors or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you guys feel that putting the word unfocused, would that be accurate?
I would say it's more unpolished. I'm not sure if unpolished is the right word as much as it didn't feel like the system had a strong – it could have used some very focused playtesting to see actually how people played, just random people. It seems like they were trying to throw everything in to, you know, make your infinite undiscovery so you can play the game however you want to, but none of it was necessary. You didn't get benefits from doing a lot of the stuff. I mean, you know, like there was a crafting system, which I never used, ever. I think I made some potions once, like maybe 5 or 6 potions. Otherwise, it's completely moot. And you actually get up skill in those, so you can't just make everything right off the bat. You have to spend time leveling them up, as you would in like an online game like World of Warcraft. So you'd have you'd have to wander around and grind all the skills up.
I actually tried to make use of the crafting system when I was playing the game, because I love the item crafting systems in most games. But that was a particularly poorly designed one. Not so much for like how it was designed. Like most crafting systems involves you have to level them up in some way, or you have to increase your skill in them. That's normal. But what was really annoying is that you had to have the character in your party in order to make use of the particular crafting system. That character had to be in your party, and every character was capable of something different. And of course, as I already mentioned, characters can only be switched out in a town, and that in itself isn't the issue so much as the fact that while you're in a town, there's characters in your actual party. You have to go seek them out, and then you have to connect with them if you actually want to craft anything. Either that, or you switch your party out, leave the town, do whatever crafting you want, go back into the town, switch out your party members to get some other character, go back out, do your crafting, go back in, blah, blah, blah. It's redundant, unnecessary, time-consuming, and quite frankly, ridiculous. It reeks of bad design, and I don't know how they managed to get away with it, considering how many games they've made before that had crafting systems that were so much better.
I mean, like, and though I did give this a slightly above average review, I do think there was a B team on this. I don't think probably Star Ocean is probably having probably a lot of their, you know, high class developers. I love Tri-Ace games. I mean, they're good games, but you know, this is definitely one of their lower ones. I wouldn't go as far as to say it was bad, like you said, because bad, in my mind, is something like I can't even think of a really bad RPG, but nearly to the point of being broken. I mean, you know, this one had some redeeming features to it. It had some polish, and you can see that in some of the spots. I mean, like different elements of it. The overall presentation was pretty good, but there were some things that if they would have just picked those out and like polished them and focused and pushed them to the front a little bit more and took away the unnecessary things, you would have had a pretty decent game. It's just that you had all these little bad things that were clouding your judgment when you're playing it. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for the things like all those weird combos you can do that which really serve no purpose, or the links which really serve no purpose. I mean, you know, when that's there, it detracts you from the fact that, like, I mean, for the most part, there's some parts of the game where it's kind of sketchy, but the AI for some of your party members, for example, can be pretty decent. I mean, it's not great, but it's a lot better than a lot of games are. Or how the music, for example. I mean, I just, some of the things about this game is just, I don't know. I'm not sure how they got it out the door.
All right, so with that, I think we're going to wrap this up. Any final comments from either of you that you haven't mentioned yet? No?
I can't think of anything. I think I covered everything.
Right, you guys seem to be all exhausted, all topics. Thank you so much for joining us. It sounds like even if you're a more forgiving gamer, like it sounds like Jonathan may be, you're still going to be a little bit frustrated with this title.
Well, actually, that's something I could mention actually real quickly is I am a fairly forgiving gamer. If you actually look at my reviews, most of my reviews are fairly positive. This is one of the few games that I've given a bad score to, and it really takes a lot to force me to give a game a bad score. And Infinite Underscore, as I said, it could have been okay if they'd cut some stuff out, they'd fixed some things up a little bit, polished it a little bit, but the thing is they didn't. And as a result, Infinite Undiscovery is just a bad game.
Oh, wow. I wonder what I would have given it then. All right, so I think that finally wraps it up. Thanks again for joining us. It was a great feature. We'll see you guys around the site. And listeners, look forward to the next head-to-head next time we have two reviewers reviewing a single game. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.